Loving you, darling, is a man's man's job. A hockey RPF fake by Destroyed Meek. Read by Zencredible. Jakub Baracek had no qualms about admitting to having idolized Jaromir Jagr as a kid. He was a little boy in Kladno in the 1990s who loved hockey. It would have been strange if he hadn't. The poster on his wall, the mullet he'd had when he was six, none of it had made him stand out in the time and place where he'd grown up. The other picture of Jagr that had lived in Jakub's bedroom, though, that one he wasn't quite so eager to admit to. He'd been 15 and still living at home when the Czech Republic won the World Championships. That night, after celebrating with his friends, he'd stayed up way too late on the family computer, reading every article and message board post about the games. And, okay, getting in a few fights on those message boards, too. Some people on the internet were fucking stupid about hockey. Then someone posted a picture on one of the message boards, taken in the locker room after the game, a horde of happy Czechs with microphones in their faces. And there, at the edge of the frame, was Jaromír Jágr, wearing nothing but a pair of briefs and the cockiest grin Jakub had ever seen. And those briefs left very little to the imagination. Jakub shivered. The picture wasn't technically obscene, but it probably wasn't going to pop up on any mainstream news sites, even Czech ones. Maybe the photographer who had uploaded it hadn't even noticed how obvious the outline of Jagr's dick was through the white fabric, hadn't seen the way the cotton stretched to contain him. It wasn't the obvious focal point of the picture, if Jake was being honest, but honesty seemed like a scary path to take, because why was Jake noticing something the photographer probably hadn't? Why was he noticing something like that? Whatever the reason, Jakub didn't want to risk the picture getting pulled from the internet and disappearing forever. He right-clicked and saved the image under the innocuous file name Vityazove and buried it in a locked sub-sub-sub folder with the other images he'd started to collect from less-than-savory websites. Of course, the rest of those images all included women. That felt like a much bigger difference than the picture's site of origin. Jakub looked around the room, but the only movement was the second hand of the wall clock. His parents had gone to bed ages ago. Still, trembling slightly, Jakub opened the image again and set it to print. He held his breath as the ancient printer coughed and whirred its way through the job, hoping that the noise wouldn't wake up his parents. When the printer finally released the sheaf of paper, Jakub shook it a few times to dry the ink, folded it in half, and shut down the computer. Picture in hand, he finally went to bed, but he definitely didn't go right to sleep. Jakub deleted the image file with the rest of his porn when he left his family's home and moved to Canada for juniors. But he kept the wrinkled printout, transporting it halfway across the world between the pages of a nondescript notebook. The picture was his constant, the one thing he kept coming back to, while the rest of the contents of his spank bank grew and changed. There were a lot more men in his spank bank by the time he came home for the summer of 2008. By then, he was pretty sure he was bisexual, and it didn't scare him as much as it once had. He still wasn't ready to tell anyone yet, though, which is why his heart skipped several beats when Jiri Lusti managed to unearth the picture while looking for a piece of paper to write down the shopping list his mom was dictating to him over the phone. It was a rainy day, and Jakub and Yiri were hanging out in Jakub's bedroom, watching dodgeball for the millionth time. When Yiri hung up on his mom, he turned to Jakub, picture held between two fingers. Jake, what's this about? He was gesturing to the whole picture and its mostly clothed Czech champions, not to Jager in particular, which was the only thing that stopped Jakub from completely succumbing to panic. For a moment, after the initial shock, Jakub considered telling the truth. Then he remembered Yeri's statement to the press last fall, after those weird pictures of him were leaked. I don't know nothing about the homosexual. Jakub had been friends with Yiri since they were 9 and 10 years old, and chasing turkeys around the Lusti farm. He couldn't risk losing that. Good luck, charm, Jakub explained. For the day I win worlds. Yiri raised a skeptical eyebrow, searching Jakub's eyes for the lie, before shrugging. You and your superstitions. He didn't look entirely convinced, but it was enough to get him to put the picture down and refrain from commenting on the blush that had begun to turn Jakub's cheeks as red as his hair. But Jakub's fake superstition proved to be accurate. 2 years later, he was a member of the Czech men's national team when they won the world championships again. Yiri wasn't there. Jaromír Jágr was. Playing with Jágr was both better and worse than Jakub had expected. On the one hand, being up close and personal with Jaromír Jágr on the bench and on the ice wasn't something Jakub could ever take for granted. But Jágr was the undisputed star of the team, and the veteran ranks were full of his friends. He didn't have time to get to know the 20-year-olds with hearts in their eyes. Jakub only spoke to him directly once during the tournament, when they were first introduced. Jágr also took the longest to leave the locker room. Jakub had trained himself to never check out his naked teammates, but he would have made an exception for Jágr. Unfortunately, there was no way to stay behind without looking creepy. Then, Andrei Pavelec noticed Jakub looking. Andrei was a good friend. Not as close as Yiri, maybe, but a good friend all the same. And Andrei was much better at calling Jakub out than Yiri had ever been. Jakub still wasn't expecting it when Andrei tracked his eyes across the locker room, following Jakub's line of sight to Jager's stall and the slow methodical removal of his pads and equipment. Oh yeah, Andrei said quietly. Me too. Jakub turned around to face Andrei. He was sure he looked startled. What? Andrei just grinned. Did you think you were the only one? That night, Andrei fucked Jakub in Andrei's single-occupancy hotel room. Goalie privileges, apparently. Jakub had been with plenty of girls, so the mechanics of sex weren't entirely new. But it was his first time with a man outside of his fantasies. He found he loved it. Loved the stretch and burn and the pleasure running up his spine in little sparks as he rode Andrei. While Andrei jerked him off, Jakub leaned forward to kiss him, and when he pulled away, Andrei made some dumb joke about goalie interference as he repositioned his hand on Jakub's cock. Afterwards, Jakub lay back in bed, staring up at the blank white ceiling. He'd had fun. Andrei was hot and great at sex, and though Jakub didn't really want to start a relationship with one of his best friends, he thought he might be okay with some kind of fuck buddies arrangement. Except, well. Andrei voiced Jakub's thoughts before he could say a word. Too bad I'm at least 10 years too young for you. Jakub let his head fall even deeper into the pillows behind him and ran a hand through his tangled mess of hair. Sorry. Jakub could feel rather than hear Andrei shrug. Hey, don't worry about it. This was fun, but my type is a little older too. Andrei grinned. I mean, have you ever really looked at Bruce Springsteen? Jakub shook his head. I don't know who that is. Andrei's eyes grew wide. Well, he said, we'll definitely have to fix that. He climbed off the bed to rummage around in his bags for his iPod, and Jakub settled back into the pillow, sated and pleased with the notion that maybe his desires weren't so weird after all. Now I've got you in my sights. Jakub had always looked older than he really was. He could see how that might become a problem years down the line, but it had served him well in hockey. The older guys on his teams never saw him as an easy target. When he got back to Columbus after winning Worlds, though, Jakub discovered whole new uses for the maturity of his face. Uses like getting into clubs without having to show his ID and reveal his name. Yes, he had turned 21 in August, but most of the other 21-year-olds he knew were still getting carded regularly. And once he was in those clubs, that same maturity helped him convince older men who would never have gone for some baby-faced twink to let him blow them in the bathroom. It was pretty fucking great. Maybe he should have been ashamed of how much he loved kneeling on dirty tile floor that was no colder or harder than a sheet of ice, swallowing down men nearly twice his age until his eyes watered. But he wasn't ashamed. He loved the weight of a cock in his mouth, the heavy warmth on his tongue, the pressure against the back of his throat. He loved the way his lips stretched around a particularly thick cock, the way a sudden burst of cum would make him choke before swallowing. He loved when the men grabbed his hair and tugged, leaving it no messier than it had been when he came into the club. Sometimes the men sucked him off too, or at least gave him a handjob. On rare occasions, he even let them take him somewhere else to fuck in a car or a bed. But a lot of the time, Jakub was satisfied just to get the men off, to look up afterward and see the lines at the corners of their bliss-shuttered eyes, the grey strands of their dark hair damp with the sweat of the club and the sex. Jakub was discreet, of course, and he went out with the guys to pick up girls often enough that no one ever questioned what he did on the nights he went off by himself. Columbus was a small city with an unsuccessful hockey team, which meant that Jakub could go to gay clubs without much risk. No one in Columbus cared about some random Blue Jackets player with a Czech accent. Jakub liked Columbus. He liked his team and the game they played, even when they didn't win as much as any of them would have wanted. He got to hang out with Jiri and Andre whenever the Jackets had a southeastern road trip, and in the summers they all still hung out and trained together back home in Kladno. He and Andre had already made plans to see Springsteen in concert as many times as possible the next time he toured. Andre had been right about the appeal. Bruce Springsteen had some fucking amazing songs and some fucking amazing arms. Jakub was playing well, having fun and hooking up exactly as often as he wanted to. Life was pretty good. Then, the 2011 off-season came, and Jakub got the call that he'd been traded. It wasn't the worst thing that had ever happened to him. He would miss his team, but the Flyers were successful and exciting, with a huge old-school fanbase. And he couldn't blame the GM for making the trade. The Jackets needed more than just Rick Nash to score goals if they were ever going to succeed, and a star like Jeff Carter was the right choice. Or he seemed to be, at the time. A few months later, Jakub and the Jackets would both have to concede that the deal had been a bad one, but no one could have predicted that. What worried Jakub, though, were the rumors about why Philly had been willing to let go of Carter. Philadelphia wasn't Columbus. When players went out to clubs and bars, they got their pictures taken and posted immediately to the internet, their intoxicated choices preserved forever for public consumption. Jakub wouldn't be anonymous there. Carter and Mike Richards had learned that lesson the hard way. By the time he signed his Philadelphia contract a week later, Jakub had made peace with the fact that he would probably have to stick to women for the foreseeable future, except maybe on the road. But that day, word came in about the Flyers' next transaction, signing free agent Jaromir Jagr. Pushing aside his attraction to men was about to become a much harder task. Jakub met Jagr as an NHL teammate on the first day of training camp. Jakub had thought he'd be the first person there. He'd shown up incredibly early to make a strong first impression, but Jagr was already on the ice. skating warm-up laps. When he saw Yakub, he skated over and stuck out his hand. "Yakub," he said and continued in Czech, "it's good to see you here. You did well in the tournament last year." "Not as well as you," Yakub couldn't help pointing out. Yakub had gotten a grand total of 2 assists in that tournament. Jager had scored 3 goals and racked up 7 points. "Well, you're young," Jager replied. "And now I'm here, so you can learn from the best." He grinned cheekily, and Yakub felt a familiar swooping sensation low in his belly. "That's the plan," he managed, willing himself not to get hard. Being turned on by a compliment was a new low, and if this was how his traitorous body was going to react every time he spoke to his new teammate, that was going to be a problem. Luckily, an equipment manager appeared a moment later to show Yakub his locker at Skate Zone, and Yakub was able to turn his attention to non-Jager things. By the end of training camp, Yakub was feeling a lot more comfortable with his teammates, Jager included. Pushing your bodies to the edge of collapse was always a bonding experience, and the Flyers were no different. Nonetheless, Yakub spent most of his downtime with Wayne Simmonds, who'd been traded to Philadelphia on the same day Yakub had, via the Mike Richards deal with LA. They were both the new guys on a team that was still a little shell-shocked by the trades that had brought Yakub and Wayne there, and they hit it off as the odd man out. Jager was new too, of course, but he had been the new guy so many times in his career that he had his own strategy. Chatting with absolutely everyone. Luckily, everyone actually wanted to talk to him too. And why wouldn't they? He was Jaromir Jager. Still, Jakub found some time each day to talk to Jager, hoping exposure would make his dumb crush disappear. It was also, frankly, a relief to speak Czech. Every training camp was a leap into a swirl of rapid-fire English after a summer spent at home, and the switch was always jarring, no matter how good Jakub's English was. Every August in Columbus, he had spent a lot of time with Jan Heda, who he wasn't all that close to otherwise, just to ease the transition. "English is exhausting," Jager agreed as they cooled down on bikes at the end of a long day. "Keep talking to me. Let them think we're sharing secrets." And of course, Jakub did. Exposure therapy clearly wasn't working. Jager was an undertow that Jakub wasn't sure he could fight. Jager was also maybe the hardest worker Jakub had ever met. Within a few days of the start of the preseason, he had a set of keys to access Skate Zone at any hour of the day, and he always stayed on the ice later in practice than anyone else. He came to every optional skate too, along with everyone else desperate to prove their value. "Why do you do it?" Jakub asked at practice one day in late October, their growing friendship making him bold. "No one's going to scratch you." Jager turned to Jakub, reading him critically with those eyes that always seemed to be twinkling. "I'm becoming an old man. I haven't played in this league in years. If I don't work like this, no coach with half a brain will want me." Jakub stared, unable to think of a suitable reply. That was the epitome of Jager. Cocky as hell one minute, genuinely humble the next. "Well," he said finally, "Laviolette has a brain, and more than just half a one, and he definitely wants you around." Jager shrugged noncommittally. "Then I'll keep doing what I'm doing to make sure that doesn't change." Then he narrowed his eyes at Jakub. "Your shot could be 10 times stronger with the right practice, you know." Jakub swallowed, embarrassed. Jager wasn't the first person to tell him that. "Yeah, I know. I'm working on it." "Let's come back to the ring tonight, Kuba," Jager said. "We can practice together." It was an intimate request, with an intimate nickname attached. Even most of his Czech friends called him Jake these days. Jakub still hadn't been able to bring himself to call Jager Jax. He couldn't imagine defaulting to Jaro or Jada like the older guys on the national team did. "Okay," Jakub said. "What time?" Jager grinned the grin of someone very used to getting his way. "Whenever I decide I want to, I'll pick you up." Yacoub was completely doomed. True to his word, Jagr picked Yacoub up that evening and drove him to Skate Zone, and they spent 2 hours with an eerily silent rink and a bucket of pucks practicing shots. They were focused enough that Yacoub didn't have to worry about making a fool out of himself with casual conversation, but when Jagr pressed up against him to adjust Yacoub's hands on his stick and mime a more thorough follow-through, Yacoub could feel his face heat up with a rush of embarrassed pleasure. There was no way Jagr could see the blush from his position behind him, which was a relief, but when Jagr murmured,
"Yes, that's it, just like that,"
right by Yakub's ear, he must have felt the way a shiver ran all the way up Yakub's spine to his reddening neck. Jagr finally pulled away, without comment, and whether his silence was from politeness or obliviousness, Yacoub wasn't about to question it. Their practice continued without any more invasions of personal space, and Yacoub could feel his shot attempts getting stronger, so all in all, it was a productive evening. They were both tired and sore by the time they got back into Jagr's car to drive home, but Yacoub knew it was the right kind of pain, even if it made him feel boneless and heavy-limbed. Within 15 minutes, Jagr was turning down Yacoub's street, and as he pulled up to the curb, he made a small, thoughtful noise.
"You know, Kuba," Jagr mused, "you and I could drive together. To practice, that is. You live along my route, and I wouldn't mind."
"Oh, no," Yacoub said, holding his hands up over the center console. "I couldn't ask you to do that."
"You're not asking, I'm offering," Jagr pointed out. "I'd like the company."
Yacoub could not believe this was his life. But how could he refuse an offer like that? "If you insist, then yes," he said after what was probably a too long pause. "Thank you." He climbed out of the car, swinging his gear back over his shoulder. "I'll see you tomorrow, then." Jagr smiled.
"Yes, be on time. And good job tonight."
As Jagr pulled away, Yacoub stumbled up the path to his building and barely made it to his bedroom before he was reaching into his pants and taking himself in hand. Even with exhaustion seeping out of every pore, his body felt hot and prickly, as if it had saved up every bit of horniness for this moment when it could finally react to the evening that had just transpired. Yacoub thought about the feel of Jagr's breath ghosting over his ear and came with startling speed, more quickly than he had under his own power in months. Then, finally spent, he kicked his pants across the room and fell back into his bed, ready to let the exhaustion take over. Over the next few months, Yacoub settled into a routine with his new team. He drove to and from practice with Jagr, and they spent the carpool time discussing the game, the team, the league, important topics, but not personal ones, or chatting about particular restaurants and shops in Kladno, foods they missed, Czech music, and TV. Personal topics, but not important ones. As long as Yacoub avoided the intersection of personal and important, he felt comfortable enough. And once they were at the rink, Jagr was just another teammate, an occasionally infuriating one who nonetheless consistently awed the young guys around him. Meanwhile, Yacoub hooked up with plenty of women, both home and on the road, and if his mind sometimes drifted on the nights he spent alone to the mental image of that photograph he'd carried around for years, or the more vivid recent mental images of Jagr in the locker room, wandering around without shame or a single stitch of clothing, well, it wasn't any different from what Yacoub had been jerking off to for years. He could compartmentalize. It didn't have to affect his relationship with the real Jagr, his teammate, and, increasingly, friend. In January, the Flyers played the Canes and Raleigh for the first time since November, and won 2-1. With no particular hard feelings between the teams, Yacoub figured it wasn't a problem to invite Jiri out with the guys for a drink after the game. After a while, though, guys started peeling off to return to the hotel. Some of the guys, Yager included, hadn't even come out to begin with, and the few remaining guys at the bar looked like they were about ready to pack it in. Yakub turned to Yiri. "You want to go somewhere else?"
"Nah," Yiri replied. "Early practice tomorrow."
Then he lowered his voice.
"But if you want to go to, you know, another kind of bar after I leave, there's one just down the road."
That made Yakub pull up short. He was pretty sure he knew what Yiri was implying, but he'd never actually told him anything.
"Another kind of bar?" he asked, voice carefully neutral.
Yiri looked a little uncomfortable, but he visibly pushed past it as he nodded, holding his eye contact with Yakub.
"Yeah, if you're in that kind of mood."
Yakub let out a low breath.
"How did you know?"
"I clicked on the wrong recently opened file once when we were setting up a movie. I got an eyeful."
Yakub cringed.
"I'm sorry I didn't tell you."
Yiri shook his head.
"Don't be. It took me a while to get used to the idea, even finding out accidentally like that. If you had told me, I might have been an asshole about it. But it's cool. Seriously, go have fun."
Yakub felt lighter after that, burdened by one less thread of secrecy between himself and someone he cared about, and he decided to take Yiri's suggestion. The bar down the street, more of a club really, wasn't anything special, but Yakub hadn't had the opportunity to be around dudes who liked dudes in months, beyond André and one weird, possibly misunderstood conversation he had had with Claude Giroux. He could ignore the cheesy techno music and strobe lights for the opportunity to throw himself into the hive of warm bodies, to let out some of the last of his adrenaline from the game by pressing his dancing body up against attractive men. He'd been dancing with one guy for a while, tall, dark-haired, somewhere around 40, when the guy pulled back and touched his own throat.
"Getting thirsty!" the guy yelled over the club noise. He leaned in, placing one hand on Yakub's cheek.
"Why don't I get us some drinks?"
"Sure," Yakub said amiably, enjoying the warmth of the man's hand on his skin.
"I have to go take a piss first, though."
The drinks from the last bar were starting to catch up with him. The guy nodded and headed off to the bar, and Yakub threaded his way through the crowd in the direction of the bathroom. When he got there, he pushed the door open, prepared to avert his eyes out of courtesy to anyone who might have been using the bathroom for other purposes. But what caught his eye on the other side of the door was something he couldn't look away from. For a moment, Yakub was sure he was hallucinating, but no. Standing in the bathroom, back pressed up against a wall and hands buried in the hair of another man whose mouth was stretched around the same thick cock Yakub had fantasized about too many times to count, was Jaromir Jagr. Yakub took a step back, bumping into the door, and Jagr pulled his head up from where it had been thrown back against the bathroom wall. He caught Yakub's eyes, and all Yakub could do was stand there, frozen, as Jagr grinned, winked, and resumed tugging at the other man's hair.
"Faster,"
he commanded, and the man on his knees complied, happily doing what Yakub had wanted to do for so long. Yakub knew he couldn't keep watching, because if he did, he was liable to do something stupid, and he couldn't go past them to the urinals, not after this. Instead, he gave a small, aborted salute and turned around, then continued walking all the way out of the club and onto the street. The guy he'd been dancing with would just have to finish both drinks by himself. Outside, he pulled his phone out of his pocket, hoping that the Jets hadn't gotten on a plane back to Winnipeg from Boston already. Yakub's heart was pounding in his chest, his mind reeling. André picked up after two rings.
"André,"
Yakub said, voice an urgent near whisper in the quiet night air.
"You are not going to believe what I just saw."
Yagra never mentioned that night in Raleigh, and Yakub didn't either. It remained a quiet, unspoken knowledge between them, and after a few weeks, Yakub began to wonder if he'd just imagined the whole thing in a drunken haze, unlikely as he knew that was. He began to feel a little guilty about telling Andre. He'd outed a legend without a second thought. But Andre wasn't going to tell anyone else. Yakub was sure of that. Everyone's secrets were safe in this strange little club of queer Czech NHLers. In late February, the Flyers played the Jets for the fourth and the last time that season. It was a hard-fought game, the two teams trading leads back and forth and heading to overtime after Simmer's goal in the last 10 seconds. Then, 10 seconds before the end of the OT period, Denny Briere stole the puck behind the Winnipeg net and fed it to Jager, who snapped it past Andre for the win. Yakub worked his way through his post-game routine quickly. He hadn't done anything in the game that would have made him worth interviewing, and he wanted to try to catch Andre before he had to get on the Flyers' team bus for the drive to the airport. Yakub didn't know how long Andre's team was going to stay in the Flyers' conference, considering their move halfway across the continent, and he tried to take advantage of the semi-frequent meetups they still had. Yakub waited in the hallway outside the Jets' locker room and told an equipment manager he was there. He wasn't eager to encounter anyone else from a team full of guys he'd just beaten on home ice. The equipment manager relayed the message, and a few minutes later, Andre emerged. "Good game," Andre said, running a towel over his still wet hair. "Yeah, sorry about that," Yakub said, pulling Andre into a brief hug. He didn't really feel bad. The Jets had beaten them the last 3 times they'd faced each other, and Andre was still the first star of the game, with a full 50 saves. But losing the game for your team with under a minute left in OT was a bad way to finish out a season series. Andre's face looked tight, but he shrugged. "Yeah, what can you do? If I had to let another one in, I'm glad it was Jager's." His expression brightened. "Speaking of which..." Yakub shook his head. "I know where you're going with this, and no, don't even suggest it." Andre threw his towel over his shoulder and crossed his arms. "Why not? He just pulled off a win for your team. He deserves to be thanked. And you already know how he likes to be thanked." Yes, Yakub definitely regretted telling Andre anything. "I can't just offer," Yakub protested. Andre shook his head. "I swear, Jake, if you don't take this opportunity, I'm going to track him down and make an offer myself. Get back there." Yakub opened his mouth to argue, but Andre shoved him away, pushing him back down the hall. "Go!" Yakub went. It didn't take long to retrace his steps, but he got back to the locker room just as Giroux was leaving. G was usually the next to last out, his captainly duties to the press slowing down his post-game routine. "Forget something?" G asked, feigning innocence, but his mouth curled into the same mischievous grin he always wore when he knew he was being a little shit. "Yes," Yakub said, trying to slip past him. G reached out and grabbed Yakub's shoulder, squeezing it encouragingly.
"Get it, Jakey."
Yakub knew he never should have told G about his crush. Yes, they had both been drunk, and yes, G had started the conversation by talking about his own epic infatuation with his much older former housemate, but it still hadn't been one of Yakub's better decisions.
"Fuck off," Yakub said, shrugging off G's hand.
The impish grin fell from G's face.
"I mean it," he said. "Go for it, man."
And he stepped aside, letting Yakub pass. Yakub wondered for a moment if G wanted to thank Briere for his assist on the same OT goal, but he pushed the thought aside. He really wasn't as invested in his friends' sex lives as they seemed to be in his. Jager was still in the locker room, dressed in shorts and a t-shirt and reorganizing the items in his gear bag. As Yakub had predicted, no one else was left. When the door swung closed behind Yakub, Jager looked up and Yakub felt his breath catch. It was time to suck it up and do what Andre and G had encouraged. He wasn't going to get a better opportunity, and he was tired of the silent knowledge.
"What is it, Kuba?"
Jager asked. Yakub licked his lips.
I just wanted to thank you for the goal.
Yager shrugged.
I wasn't the only one who scored tonight.
No, Yakub said. He took a few steps forward. But yours won us the game.
My 16th goal in overtime. The reporters told me I have the record now.
And doesn't that deserve thanks? Yakub was using his confident voice, the one he brought out for the press and anonymous men and women at clubs. He wasn't used to needing it with someone he actually knew.
Yager sat down on the bench in front of the empty visitor stall. I'd say you could buy me a drink if I drank. Buy me a Diet Coke if you want. But it isn't necessary. I only have these records because I'm an old man.
Yager hadn't missed any opportunity to joke about his age since he had turned 40 a week earlier. You won us the game, Yakub insisted. He took a few more steps until he was right in front of Yager, looking down at him on the bench. And you should be thanked. He swallowed again and added more quietly. Besides, some of us like old men.
Yager raised a single eyebrow, and Yakub realized he wasn't going to be able to say what he wanted to do out loud. Instead, he dropped down to his knees and put his hands on Yager's thighs, his fingers just barely slipping under the hem of his shorts.
Please?
Yakub watched Yager's expression change, cycling through confusion and surprise before settling on approval. He smiled, shark-like, and reached down to grab Yakub's wrist, pressing them against his thighs.
This is what you want.
Yakub looked up at Yager through his lashes and nodded, his false confidence finally failing him and leaving him speechless. Yager's thumbs pressed harder against his wrists.
For how long? Since we signed here? Since Worlds?
Yager smiled wider.
Since you were a boy.
Yakub looked down again. Yager's words and the incisive, embarrassing truth they contained, combined with the pressure of his hands on Yakub's wrists, were making Yakub's cock stir already.
Please,
Yakub repeated. Yager released Yakub's wrists and grabbed the bench behind him, bracing himself on his arms as he leaned back and spread his knees.
Go on, then. Thank me.
With that permission granted, the floodgates opened. Yakub surged forward, sliding his hands up Yager's thighs under his shorts, the hard muscle warm to the touch and rough with hair. Mouth open and almost salivating, he pressed his face to the place where Yager's shorts stretched over his groin and began mouthing at his length. Yakub knew he could just take the shorts off, press his lips to skin rather than cotton, but he had spent so long looking at that old picture that Yager straining against fabric was almost more erotic than the idea of him fully exposed, the way Yakub saw him every day in the locker room. Yakub ran his tongue along the line of Yager's cock through his shorts, all the way to the tip, where pre-com had begun to darken a spot of the orange fabric. Yager let in a sharp intake of breath.
Oh, Kuba. You've imagined this, haven't you? You've pictured yourself on a locker room floor just like this one, on your knees, and begging for it.
Yakub didn't say anything, his face turning red and his cock growing harder. With one hand, he reached down and tucked at his own pants, freeing his cock. With the other, he started to play with the waistband of Yager's shorts, sliding his fingers around until they found the drawstrings. He untied them with one quick tuck, then hooked both index fingers into the waistband and pulled the shorts down past Yager's knees. Yager's cock, mostly erect, was exactly what Yakub had always imagined. Uncut like Yakub's own, and unlike most of the American men he'd been with. Long and thick, but not frighteningly so. A bit darker at the base, where it met the patch of coarse hair. For a moment, Yakub just looked, reveling in the permission. Then he reached up and ran his fingers over Yager's cock gently, almost reverently,
taking in the topography of skin and veins, playing with the foreskin with pre-cum dampened fingers before pulling it back just a bit. Yager hissed as his body twitched at the sensation, and he reached out to tangle his fingers in Yakub's hair, tugging his head forward so Yakub's lips brushed the exposed head of his cock. Yakub could take a hint. No more playing around. He opened his mouth and took Yager inside as far as he could, until his cock bumped against the soft palate at the back of his throat. Yager kept his hand at the back of Yakub's head, keeping him close, and began to thrust, fucking Yakub's mouth. Yakub tried to put some technique into it with his tongue and his fingers, but for the most part, he let himself be used, lips burning with the stretch, chin sloppy with saliva.
"So good,"
Yager murmured, voice almost a hum.
"So good at this. You've gotten plenty of practice. Did you ever think about me when you did? Did those other men enjoy my inspiration?"
Yakub didn't know if Yager had done this before, got some other starry-eyed young player on his knees, used those same words on him, and learned just how well they worked. Yager had never been the type to take advantage of hero worship, he'd always been modest to a fault. But if a rookie had offered, like Yakub had offered, well, Yakub couldn't blame either of them for taking advantage like Yakub was taking advantage right now. And it didn't matter. In that moment, Yakub was the one with Yager's cock in his mouth, swallowing him down, ice watery and so turned on by it all. When Yager was close, he released Yakub's hair and Yakub pulled off to jerk him through his orgasm, his cum spattering over Yakub's hand. Spent, Yager leaned back against the divider between two stalls, and Yakub took himself in hand, spreading Yager's cum slick over his hard cock. He'd been close before he'd even touched himself, and it didn't take long for him to finish as well, spilling on the locker room floor. Yakub sat back on his knees, breathing hard, and looked up at Yager and his still exposed, softening cock with something close to rapture. Yager sat up and leaned forward, tilting Yakub's chin up with one finger, and kissed him. It was brief, but thorough, and Yakub didn't even mind how much his jaw was protesting at the angle and the exertion.
"You get yourself cleaned up,"
Yager said, voice gentle and ragged at the edges. He stroked Yakub's cheek fondly.
"I'll see you on the bus."
A week later, when the Flyers finally returned home from their Western road trip, Yakub pulled a battered printout of the Czech national team out of his notebook, balled it up, and threw it away. He didn't need it anymore. Having the real thing was infinitely better.
The end.
You've just finished listening to "Loving You, Darling, Is a Man's Man's Job" by Destroy the Meek. If you enjoyed this story, please leave the author some feedback on AO3. And if you enjoyed my production and performance of this story, please leave me some feedback. You can find me as Zan_Reads on AO3. That's Zan with an X. Thank you to Destroy the Meek for giving blanket permission to Podfic. Thank you to Eliowen, who's been my Czech pronunciation beta for this project. The music used for scene breaks is "Hungry Eyes" by Eric Carmen. This version of the Podfic was recorded on the 31st of January, 2021. And now for some reader free talk. So I was looking for a fic to record and actually started recording something else that, not very far in, I abandoned because, well, it's a cute story. I didn't like the writing style enough to want to attach my name to it, if that makes sense. So then I went looking through my bookmarks again and remembered this gem. I ended up recording it twice, and if you stay tuned until the very end, there are some outtakes of my struggles and increasing desperation with the amount of Czech names in the story at the end, and a little bit of outtakes thingy. But when my friend Eliowen listened to a compiled sample of my attempts to say any of the names, she said that I got at least half of them mostly wrong. So, because apparently I went to Russian with the pronunciation. So, I'd already started questioning whether or not I shouldn't maybe re-record it for another reason. I'll get into that in a moment. And this was, like, Eliowen saying this was the push I needed to re-record it again. And the original recording was made almost a week prior to this version, in case you were wondering. The main reason I wanted to record it again, though, is that I made a fundamental change to the text of the story. I mean, sort of fundamental. The author consistently uses Jake to refer to Jakub. And while I understand that this is a stylistic choice and meant to make it easier for people who are familiar with Jake as a player to remember who this fic is about, I personally always find it weird when limited third-person POV uses a name for the POV character that the POV character themselves wouldn't use for themselves. So Jake Voracek might call himself Jake these days, but he probably didn't at the age of 15. So I made the choice to change almost all Jakes to Jakubs. The only time I agreed to calling him Jake was when other people did it, even when they're Czech people. I think he only talks to Czech people, except for Claude Giroux. He's the only non-Czech person that Jakub talks to in the story. And the reason I kept the few Jakes that come up in dialogue is because the author makes a point of explaining that almost everybody calls him Jake now, even his Czech friends. I know I slipped up at least twice with doing this because I was, you know, adjusting on the fly. I didn't alter the script of the thing. I read it off of AO3. So every time Jake came up in a text, I had to remember that I meant to call him Jakub. Like I said, I slipped up at least twice when I was concentrating on getting someone else's name right. And I hope it's not too obvious where I ended up splicing in another Jakub from a different section of the podfic into the bits where I accidentally called him Jake instead. If you find any other places where I called him Jake instead of Jakub, congratulations. You can tell me. I might go back and change it. I can't promise that I will. But if you found it, let me know the timestamp and I will definitely think about changing it. Moving on to covers. I made two covers, as you can see on my AO3 post. I did this because I know that some people prefer not to have half-naked men on their screens when they're listening to podfic in public. So I made a Safe for Work cover that's basically just a Czech flag and a not Safe for Work cover. I just want to quickly talk about these two covers. For all that Jaromir Jagr is constantly thirst-trapping on his Instagram account, there aren't any high-risk pics of him in white briefs, let alone while sitting down. There are some pics of him sitting down. There are even some pics of him sitting down in what could be underwear if you squint, but not the right kind of underwear, and also he's not sitting the right way. And then I went looking, and I found out that there aren't even that many high-res pics of other men that are suitably beefy, but not the wrong kind of beefy, and sitting down, and also not obscene. It's just, it's been a struggle, I can tell you. But I did find the picture that I ended up using, and I had two different pictures. I had this one that I ended up using where there's someone sitting down in white briefs and it looks kind of nice and aesthetically pleasing and kind of sexy. And then I had another one where it's just a person standing in front of a blank wall with white briefs on. And it wasn't quite as high res as the one that I ended up using too. And I made a cover with that one. And one of my friends on Discord, who hasn't read the story, said that from this cover alone, like with the title and just the pose of the person and everything else that was going on the cover, which wasn't that much, but like just everything, made it look like it would be a funny story, like a crack story. And while I admit that there might be some cracky, humorous elements to the story, I didn't consider it to be a Craig story. So that was definitely something to keep in mind, and another reason why I ended up using the other cover. The other reason being that while I was writing up my notes for this free talk, I remembered suddenly that I had found another picture and I went looking for it. I had saved it to the wrong folder on my computer. And when I found it again, I did another cover, and I like this one better because it's like, I showed it to my friend, the one who said the other one looked funny, like funny in a haha way, not funny in a weird way. And they definitely said, oh yeah, no, this looks more like what you described the story was rather than some cracky thing. The Safer Work cover was ultimately more editing work, even with, like, considering that I had to do the other cover twice. But it was less research, as I knew what pictures I wanted to use. So the little logos on the left-hand side show three big stages in the story. There's the World Cup of 2005 in Austria, which is when Jakub was roughly 15, when the Czech national team won. Except I fudged the colors of that logo to stick to the red, white, and blue color scheme and not introduce more colors. If you look up the 2005 IIHF World Cup, you will see that the cover that the logo is actually different colors. Then there's Jake's time with the Blue Jackets, which is why I put the Blue Jackets logo on there, and this is when he's like, when he feels free to go clubbing and explore his sexuality more openly. And finally, his time with the Flyers, which is why there is the Flyers logo. And yeah, that's basically it. It's a big Czech flag in your face with some references to the story. Finally, about the song, I could have gone with Man's Job by Bruce Springsteen, as it is the song that gave the story its title, but it didn't sound right for what I envisioned for the story, and I couldn't find any covers that worked either, and so I didn't use it because it just, I can't describe it, but the vibe felt off for this song is the best way I can put it. And then I talked to another friend on Discord and somehow ended up with Hungry Eyes, and I'm pretty satisfied with how it fits the story. It's maybe a little cheesy or in your face, but it definitely works in my opinion. Like, the lyrics work, the sound of it works. There was even a Schlager cover for it, since apparently that's the kind of music Jaromir Jagr enjoys, according to his Instagram. And I could have picked the Schlager cover of Hungry Eyes, but the story isn't from his POV. And on top of that, I just refused to use that kind of music in my stories. Like, Eurovision is one thing, right? But straight up Disco Fox, pseudo popular music, Schlager style, if you know what Schlager is, then you know what I'm talking about. I refuse. Last but not least, I don't think there's any change in my voice yet, but for statistics sake, I will tell you that I recorded the story when I was almost 16 weeks on T. Thank you very much for listening all the way to the end. As your prize, there will be the promised outtakes for you to enjoy in a minute after the rest of the song has played out. Goodbye. He right-clicked and saved the image under the innocuous file name. Oh no, come on! Why are you doing this to me? He still wasn't ready to tell anyone yet, though, which is why his heart skipped several beats when Yuri Tlusti. Okay. I can't record this because I don't know how to pronounce any of these names. Unfortunately, there was no way to stay behind without looking creepy. You all hate me. I should have known better. Jake still wasn't expecting it when Andre... No. Then Andre Babalets note... Every August in Columbus, he'd spent a lot of time with Jan Hate.
You do it again, story!
Even with exhaustion seeping out... Even with exhaustion seeping out of every pore his body felt... Even with exhaustion pouring out of every pore, his body felt hot. Where am I? There I am. Even with exhaustion pour... Even with exhaustion seeping out of every pore his... In January, the Flyers played the Canes in... I should really shut up how to pronounce that. In January, the Flyers played the Canes in Raleigh for the first time since November and won 2-1.